War of our man C-Mace, Chris Mason, who's in the booth with Willie every television broadcast, coming up at 1 o'clock in the final hour. He joins us every Wednesday. Then usually Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at noon. He's got a heavy TV schedule today up in Bristol. We're going to move him to the Friday show, so he'll probably join us Friday at noon instead. So his TV schedule just would not allow him. He's doing NFL Live and SportsCenter and a lot of hits today. You'll see Tim Hasselbeck on ESPN. So he'll probably join us Friday at the same time at noon. Yesterday after the show, Willie, the Titans announced that they have re-upped Ryan Succop, their kicker, who's been fantastic for them. And while they didn't put out the terms got out there that it was going to be a 5-year, $20 million deal, which $4 million for a kicker, it's pretty good. But if there's somebody who deserves it, it's him.
He's been reliable.
He's been reliable. Money. I mean, really, when you think about it, this organization, since they got here, punter and kicker, man, have they been lucky or what? Sometimes you don't really think about those positions till you're not good at it, right? That's when you go, geez, our kicker's killing us.
Right.
Like, think about the Chargers last year. Remember they brought in the rookie guy?
Yeah, missed the playoffs because of that.
The first month, he was botching kicks everywhere. He cost them games, and the Chargers probably get into the playoffs. It may have been at the Titans' expense.
I don't think it's probably. I think it's clear cut that that cost them a playoff spot.
Yeah, and
we're talking about two games. That's the difference between 9-7 and 11-5.
And it was because of their kicker. He missed game-winning kicks, and so it cost the Chargers the playoffs last year. It's important. If you don't have a guy punting, field position is a big deal in the NFL. I mean, just think about it. The Titans have had Craig Hendrick and Brett Kern. What a luxury.
And that's it. Since they've been the Titans.
Two guys,
right?
That have been not only great here, but they've been one of the best at their position in the league every year.
All right, now here's a fun trivia question for people that can go back. There was a season that Craig Hendrick got hurt. Remember?
Yes.
For maybe a few weeks. I don't think it was the whole season. It was mid-season. They had to bring in a kicker. I mean, I'm sorry, a punter. Josh something or other. They brought him in from the Steelers, or he was with the Steelers. What was his name?
Oh, yeah. We've had him on. He's doing radio in Pittsburgh now, I think.
Is he?
Yeah. The minute I hear it.
Because you think about it. We're talking about the Titans have been, you know, the Tennessee Titans since 99 is when the season opened.
Josh Miller.
That's it. He punted for a couple of games. We'll have to go back and look and see how many games he actually punted. But number of punters for the Titans, it is 2 plus Josh Miller. Now, here's a trivia question for you. Before they signed Craig Hendrick as a free agent from the Packers, who was the punter for the Tennessee Oilers? Another very memorable punter who was around for a long time.
So when they first got here, Memphis, Vanderbilt, those days?
Yeah.
Who was it? Well, wait a minute. Hendrick was over at Vanderbilt. He was on the roster then.
Yes, I think so. But the Memphis year.
Remember? The whole crazy.
Oh, yeah, the ending of the game where he had to try the field goal.
The Bears or the Chargers.
Well, Al DeGreco forgot to come on the field.
Yeah.
Josh Miller for the Titans punted in one game.
One game.
One game. Had 3 punts, long of 52, average of 40.
One game. All right, so that's it. I don't think there's anybody else that's punted in a Titan uniform.
No.
So the guy that punted in Memphis in 97.
You had the punter in preseason that in 2010 went to Dallas. Remember their brand new stadium? And he hit the Jumbotron.
Right.
The kicker from Ohio State.
Yeah. I forget his name. He didn't make it to the regular season.
Nobody made news.
KJ Trapasso?
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
He's the guy that hit the Jumbotron.
He hit the Jumbotron in a preseason game. And it was it in the game or was it in warm-ups or both?
I think it was in the game because I think Jeff Fisher, being on the rules committee, wanted him to do it because he wanted to bring it up. What happens if a guy hit the Jumbotron?
How everybody freaked out?
Yeah, because like Jerry Jones was like, well, nobody's gonna.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, somebody could hit that. What's the rule? You know, so Jeff Fisher's like, go ahead and drill one off of that thing. Reggie Roby was the punter before
Reggie Roby.
Craig Hendrick.
Yeah. Good call.
Who punted forever.
So that
of
must
course.
Have been more the 97 Memphis. Here.
I think he was with the Houston Oilers before, but for the Tennessee Oilers. So I think that's it, right? Josh Miller.
I think that's right.
Anybody? Brett Kearns never missed a game due to injury, has he?
Nope. I mean, they had.
That's a long line of games with two punters.
Two really good punters at that. And the kicker is the other spot. I mean, to think about Baronis and now Suckup and El Del Greco wasn't. That was at the end of his career. He was much more productive his days in Houston. Things kind of tailed off here. We love Al, but I would say that was his shiny moments was at the end of his career here. But he was much better in Houston, the Astrodome. But that position, they've done really well, those two positions, really well. I mean, that I don't know how many teams can really say that. I guess the Raiders until this year with a kicker, right? They had Janikowski forever.
We need to have a moment of silence for the end of the era for Sebastian Janikowski.
But here's the deal. Is he done? Does somebody sign? Somebody will sign him. He will be on a roster.
It's incredible how long he's been around.
Because somebody's going to get into preseason and just splatter the bed, and they're going to pick him up. Somebody's going to jump on him quick.
Sometimes you wonder how these guys ever get – how new punters and kickers ever get in because the good ones play – for 15 years in a lot of cases. And the best ones go even further than that, right?
Right, but
you know Gary Anderson could come out here right now and go 10 for 10 from 40 yards and in.
But that list is so minute. It's tiny. It's like three guys, four, tops. Most teams do not have that luxury. Yeah, it's a revolving door.
It's a tough job. It has to be the right guy. But once you get a guy that you can rely on, it's really a comfort.
The Titans had Joe Nedney here. He was good when he was here, right? I thought.
Pretty good, yeah. He got hurt, and then Gary Anderson had to come out of retirement, the fly fishing.
Man, so Ryan
that would have been interesting, is how long would Joe Nedney have lasted if he did not? I think he tore his ACL on a kick return, right?
Did he get hurt twice? One was
– but you tore his ACL covering a kick on opening night. Remember when Craig Hendrick had to come in and kick
the
field goals?
Yeah. The first play
opening
of the game.
Night against the Raiders.
Which has got to be the worst luck in the world.
And that's
first
why they brought
the
Anderson in.
Of the season?
And then he was done.
Yeah.
He ended up, I think, on the 49ers. But
something happened to last year with the Steelers kicker, the Sweezum guy, and they had to bring in Boswell because he got hurt at the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
Kickers, don't be a hero.
Well, we all remember the Joe Nedney Steelers playoff game. Or don't do that.
Either. Well, playoffs, fine. Preseason, don't be a hero. Just let them run.
So I brought this up to Steve Lehman, and I want to get your thoughts. Eddie George made comments about Derrick Henry, and it's time for him to kind of be the guy. And I think everybody feels that he's the guy. But to me, when you start thinking about it, you see Doug Martin released, and they're going to have to upgrade that position. They're going to have to bring in some backs, and they're going to have to get some change of pace guys, but just to build a more stable backfield. Because I feel like last year we were talking about they only had two backs. All of these teams now, as we saw, they have four guys that they basically keep on their roster. If it means DeMarco Murray, and this is a big if, because I don't know what his mindset is. His mindset is he's been the workhorse. He's been the number one guy. He's been the guy his whole career. But now at this stage in his career, if he was willing to accept kind of the backup role and the roles were reversed, where Derrick Henry is now the DeMarco Murray, DeMarco Murray is now the Derrick Henry, that's what I think would be optimal for next year. Like that to me would be best case scenario. What about you? If he was willing to accept that role at – and yeah, I think his number would be $6.5 million.
I think I asked myself the question, is DeMarco Murray going to be back next year? I'm not sure. I think this is the fork in the road that probably leads you down the path of Murray not being a part of the plan.
Okay, but let me make more of my case to you before you answer it. Okay, DeMarco Murray. He's a guy you can trust, which is huge.
Sure.
They know what he brings. He understands every situation. You put him out on the field, they trust him more than they trust Derrick Henry, quite honestly. Picking up blocks, schemes, what's going on in a play, he's a guy you can absolutely 100% trust. He's a guy who's great in the room. He's a pro on and off the field. He brings no issues whatsoever in the room. Okay, guys look up to him. He's a veteran in the league. And you know what he does. Anybody else you bring in, you don't know him. He's an outsider. You know what he brings to the table. So to me, trust, knowing what he brings to the table, a pro on and off the field, great in the room, to me, how could you find a better option than that? Because we're talking about just next year.
I'll tell you why. Because I have heard Mike Vrabel in a handful of interviews. He hadn't been here very long. But every interview I've heard him, he stresses versatility on his roster, the right 53 guys. And I do think you're going to see, with his expertise in special teams, a different look with the running backs. I don't think you're going to see two straight-up tailbacks that don't play special teams. I think that is going to evolve. And I think you're going to see more versatility in the skill sets. And so all of that, in my gut, tells me that DeMarco Murray will not be back. I just don't think it's going to happen. There's just a lot of reasons you could write down, and none of them are questioning the heart of DeMarco Murray, the greatness of DeMarco Murray. All of the things you laid out are absolutely true. But he's getting to the age where it's hard to stay healthy. He's getting to the age where the production is going to decline. He's not clear-cut your starter anymore. And he doesn't play special teams. So I just don't see him. And he makes, what did you say he makes? Six million.
And a half.
So it just is, it's a no-brainer for me. I just don't think he's going to be back.
You see,
okay,
in
a reduced role, though, is health not as much of an issue? Because if he's in a reduced role,
why would you pay $6 million for a guy to be in a reduced role?
Good question.
Well, because if it's third and one or third and two, or if it's at the goal line, who are you giving the ball to?
Henry, ideally, right?
But DeMarco Murray, I would absolutely think that would be a great spot for him. I trust him to get 1 or 2 yards to keep the sticks moving.
But Derrick Henry was in there for a lot of short yardage.
Derrick Henry also, when he doesn't see something, chooses to bounce out and sometimes loses yards. Like, DeMarco Murray understands the situation. I think he would be better in that spot than Derrick Henry.
Again, I'm a big fan. You don't pay that much for a role player, a reduced role. And I don't think DeMarco Murray wants that. I think he fully believes he's still got the ability to be a featured back. The question is, can he convince somebody, whether it's the Titans or anybody else, that he could still do that? I'm curious where that goes.
Wouldn't the Titans be better off at this point, knowing that Derrick Henry's on a rookie contract and DeMarco Murray, I mean, there's going to be, what, no cap hit if they get out of this next couple of weeks. Wouldn't they be better off trying to go to the draft and finding a change of pace back, someone you can use on third down, like what you see with Atlanta, like you see with Philadelphia? I think that would make a lot more sense, having Derrick Henry learn how to run through the tackles instead of trying to bounce outside and getting a guy like a Sony Michel from Georgia in the draft who you can get in the third round or something like that. Maybe not Sony Michel, but someone like that. I think they'd be better off doing that, not spending a lot of money with the running back position. Because you see out there with what Kansas City got, Kareem Hunt in the fourth round. There's backs you can get in the fourth round that can be great for your team. No point in paying this guy $6.5 million when he's clearly past his prime. Yes, he's only a season removed from being the AFC leading rusher, but you can see that he's starting to break down. And running backs only have so much mileage. So stick with Henry as your lead back and then find third down, change of pace back. Makes more sense to me.
Well, actually, I would probably tackle it from both angles. I'd probably hit one in free agency and in the draft, honestly, because I think they need more than just one guy, one change of pace back. I mean, we've seen it. It's a position that one gets dinged up.
You need
bodies.
If you can find a guy who is a nice change of pace that can play special teams, to me, that fits the job description that would be helpful.
You get anybody to play special teams at this point. I don't buy into paying running backs big money, because you can find a guy or two that could lead up to the same production that one of these feature backs in the NFL gets you. So I just feel like you stick with rookie contracts, see if that works out. And if you need to make a move, you need to make a move. But you hope that you can go to the draft, find someone who can fit well with Derrick Henry, because that's the way the league has changed. Don't need, because they're think right now they're too similar. And then DeMarco Murray's aging costs too much for what he's worth at this point.
You'd have to admit, though, when you see guys like Ezekiel Elliott, how that changes things. And look what Jacksonville did with their first, their high first pick. What was he taking? Third overall? Fourth?
Fourth.
I still think, I still think that that's not the way to go this year. I think Henry has shown enough that perhaps you feel like he could be a really good running back.
Well, you bring up those guys in Fournette and Zeke Elliott. Like, you're not getting Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, there's only one of those guys in this draft.
Yeah, because you're not going to get one of those guys at 25.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you can't get one of those guys. So you kind of hope that in the mid to late rounds you can find someone who can mix well with Henry.
And history is littered with, especially recently, guys who are not picked in the first round that end up being pretty good running backs. Very good running backs.
You can make it work, but you have to hit. You have to be able to hit. Like,
but if you
Kansas
don't hit,
City
you
did.
Got Henry. And so I'll take that. I still think the guy could be really, really good.
But that's not a question. I don't think that's in question. I think it's about
the other guys.
Around, right.
I agree.
Him with the right people.
But to do that, you do have to basically commit and say, Henry is going to be the featured back. We're going to move on from DeMarco Murray, and we're going to go role players for the rest of that stable at that position.
We'll come back with Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. We'll do that next on 102.5 The Game. All right, Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live. It's tonight, 10 Roof on Broadway, presented by Decorating Den and Red Spirits and Wine. This week's Predators player will be none other than the captain, Roman Josi. So go out there, hang out. It's from 7 until 8 o'clock, 10 Roof on Broadway. Meet the guys and have a great time. It's a fun show. Roman Josi. Doesn't get any better than that.
Well, let me tell you
this. He has been playing out of his mind lately.
He's been unlucky up until the last couple of days. He's got 4 points in the last two games. I would not be surprised if he ends up with around the same number of points as PK Subban.
Yeah.
Because he's so good at creating things. But let me tell you what it means to be a great captain. You know as well as I do, Darren, that show is a great show for the fans. It's a fun atmosphere. And I hope a lot of people go out there and appreciate that the captain will do this, because when you've played, let's do the math. They played three in the last four nights. They just got done with back-to-back. Mm-hmm. If you go back 2 weeks, they've had very few days off. Okay, we'd have to count it up. But for the captain to go out and do that, that's taking one for the team. That's saying, I'm the captain. I know the guys aren't thrilled about going to do that on the one day off that they have, because they come right back and play Thursday, they come back and play Sunday, and then they're on the road for another week. So that's not easy to do, but he stepped up and said, I'll do it. So appreciate that, Predator fans, and I hope a lot of people go down there and support that show tonight, because don't have him come down there and have just be a handful of people. Go down there and support that, because that's a great move by the captain.
Well said. Let's bring in Will Brinson, who is the CBS Sports senior writer for the NFL. Will, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're hanging out in rainy Nashville today.
Oh, no. It's sunny and 72 here in Raleigh, the Nashville of North Carolina. So. Which is when you're not counting Nashville, North Carolina, which is an actual city.
So the combines will begin next Tuesday. So we're less than a week away from the combine getting underway, and I like to call it the extension of Valentine's Day. It's when people fall in love and they fall out of love. Who do you think is just, I know this is still a little bit early, but hey, who do you think is a couple guys that people may be falling in love with that maybe we're not thinking about now that will suddenly rise, Will, above on the draft boards, and they haven't done anything?
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, you got to look at, like, the freaks in terms of the athletic guys. I tend to think that what we've seen from this class so far is a minimal number of wide receivers of any real interest in terms of first-round picks. So, you know, you have Calvin Ridley who really stands out. But, you know, after that, there's sort of a pretty big gulf. And there hadn't been a lot of really good first-round wide receivers taken in the last few years. So I think you have teams cooling on it. Cortland Sutton, James Washington, guys with big-time production in college who have a chance to go out there and test well. I mean, this is a stage that sets up well for fast wide receivers if they can go out there and put good 40 times up and push themselves up draft boards. I think a guy like Arden Key out of LSU, a pass rusher who has some, red flags lingering around him off the field maybe, can go in there and put on a show and really surprise some people. You tend to see, I'll tell you one guy that I'm assuming not a lot of people are talking about, my guy out of NC State, Kentavious Street, played inside and outside as a lineman. This is a guy that is a absolute freak when it comes to like bench press and combine type of stuff. So I would expect that you will see some people, getting a real wow factor on him. He was either a 4 or 5 star coming into college, and didn't really necessarily put up the numbers, but was in a D line with like Bradley Chubb and BJ Hill and all these guys. So I think he's a guy that could really stand out.
You can appreciate this. One of the guys that the Titans fell in love with, it's been over a decade now, Willie, you'll enjoy this. They absolutely fell in love with Chris Henry, the running back out of Arizona. One of the biggest bust picks ever in Titans franchise history. A second round pick. That did not work out. But what happens, right?
Henry later. So.
You're right. They got a different Henry later. That's right. That's even had a Travis Henry in between, I think. So they've had Henrys in the background.
Yeah.
So we heard Bill Polian come out with his comments. Certainly 2.5 hours up the road is Louisville. We've watched Lamar Jackson certainly in his college career, and everybody's wondering, okay, what is he? Is he a quarterback? And now you have Bill Polian saying he would be better served as a wide receiver. How do you think it's going to play out with Lamar Jackson?
Well, I mean, I watched a lot of ACC football, and I watched a lot of Lamar Jackson, and man, he can ruin a defense's day pretty quickly with his arm and his legs. And here's my thing that I don't understand, and this is why I don't get Bill Polian's assessment, right? Lamar Jackson is not going to fall to the third round as a quarterback. He is going to be a first or second round pick as a quarterback. Now, somewhere in the distant future, he could end up being forced, like Terrell Pryor, who by the way, in when we're talking about Polian's assessment, he's like, I like that guy out of Ohio State who had to switch to being a wide receiver at the age of 29. Terrell Pryor's 28 now, so I'm not sure what he's talking about there. But I think with the Lamar Jackson thing, if you were going to get first or second round draft pick money and a chance to be a quarterback somewhere, why on earth would you change to become a wide receiver and hurt your draft stock? Like, you're not going to switch positions 2 weeks or a week before the combine and see your draft stock go up because when you've never played the position. I get that the concept of Lamar Jackson having the ball in his hands, in the open field is terrifying and makes sense. But does it make any sense to say he's too short to be a quarterback? One, he's 6'3". And two, like, if he's too short to be a quarterback, why is he just automatically going to be a great wide receiver? Wide receivers need to be tall, too. So I just think the whole thing is askew in terms of the perception of the modern NFL and how a guy like Lamar Jackson fits in. Because to me, he's such a playmaker and he has such athletic talent that you draft him, you sit him for a year because you don't want to play him right away. I don't think he or Josh Allen should play. But you draft him, and he can be an asset in a not-too-distant future.
So many times, Will, over the years, we've been sitting here talking about the Titans have to get a quarterback, and they're drafting high, and luckily, we're not talking about that. So this quarterback class, it is intriguing, kind of building off the Lamar Jackson discussion. You got a lot of names, and they all look like they got a shot at going really high. But the question is this really the class that quarterbacks should be taken 1, 2, 3, 4 overall, or 4 or 5 of them taken in the first round? How do you overall grade this quarterback class coming out?
Well, I think it's the most fascinating quarterback class we've seen in a long time, especially when you couple it with the free agent quarterback class that features Kirk Cousins and now A.J. McCarron and a whole, you know, Drew Brees technically. Actually, literally, Drew Brees, he's the free agent. Free agent than Kirk Cousins. I think when you look at these guys, I would give it a really strong grade. I think it's important to remember that last year was considered a very weak quarterback class. Mitchell Trubisky looks like he could be a very nice piece for the Bears. Deshaun Watson appears to be the truth for the Texans. And Patrick Mahomes, everyone is very high on. So, you know, it's easy to say, well, this class isn't great, and this class, 2018 will be tremendous. It can easily end up being a worse class than last year. But I think you hit all the pieces in terms of the quarterbacks you have. You have Baker Mayfield, who's like an NWO, Deshaun Watson, crotch-chopping winner who, just is short and people are going to question him despite his production in college. You have Josh Allen, who's the prototypical physical specimen of quarterback, but sometimes can't hit the broadside of a barn from 10 feet away. You have Lamar Jackson, who clearly is going to be a hot take special when it comes to analyzing quarterbacks. And then, Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, I think, are pro-ready guys who have really nice floors and really nice ceilings. So, to me, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see three guys go in the top five. But I also think it would be a stunner if we ultimately saw two guys, Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley, fall out of the top five. You know, I get that we'll see potential trades up, but Barkley and Chubb are they would be one and two if the quarterbacks weren't in this class. So really, really interesting draft class and a group of guys here.
Will Brinson is with us, CBS Sports senior NFL writer. We're looking at the offseason that is about to heat up here with free agency and, of course, eventually the draft. Will, if you're sitting there in the Titans, you just sort of laid out that this is an intriguing year for quarterbacks changing addresses. There's some proven guys that are out there. And, of course, there's always some guys in the draft people are looking for. The Titans look like it's time to get they need a new backup. Of course, they've had the same guy, Matt Castle, for a few years. He served his purpose. He's getting up there, though, and he didn't really look like he could still help them win a game if needed. Who's out there right now? If you're looking for a veteran backup and you don't want to pay an arm and a leg, you don't want to overpay for a backup quarterback, who might be out there?
Well, I think Josh McCown is a name to look at, too. He's made no bones about his willingness to go somewhere and be a mentor for other younger quarterbacks. A tremendous leader, tremendous locker room guy, would make a lot of sense in that regard. Wouldn't be excessively expensive. I think he would prefer to play, and it's possible he's still in the mix for that for the Jets job if they end up not getting Kirk Cousins and they want a bridge guy for someone they take at number six. But to me, he did such a tremendous job last year with the Jets that it would be crazy not to at least pursue that possibility and to look at him if he's a guy that would be interested because of his ability to come in and win games. So I would probably put McCown near the top of that list.
What about at wide receiver? This is another area where you got a new offensive minds in there. You might be looking to retool, maybe some spots open. Are there any free agents that might fit what they might want to be doing with Matt LaFleur now running the offense?
Maybe. He's got familiarity with Sammy Watkins, which is an interesting name to think about. I don't know. It depends on if he is free agency. The Rams could still franchise tag him. I didn't think that was a likely scenario, but then the Dolphins just tagged Jarvis Landry at $15 million, which is crazy pants, but to each his own, I suppose. If I'm the Titans, I'm looking for help in the draft and hoping that Corey Davis can develop, or maybe going out and trying to find some lower end, low risk guys that could make sense. The one thing about Watkins, look, if you want to go out in the market and you want to spend on a wide receiver, Sammy Watkins is only 24. He was a top-tier draft pick, taken ahead of Odell and Mike Evans. This is a guy that was supposed to be exceptional at the NFL level and just never really got it going for various reasons. You worry about the health and stuff, but, he could potentially be a steal at his age and his talent in free agency, but I think it'll probably cost a lot if he ends up skipping past that franchise tag.
All right, well, you've got a mock draft out there, and I'm sure it won't be your last, right, between now and the time they actually pick.
I don't think it'll be my last between now and the combine.
Okay, so I was going to say, by the end of the week, will you have another one? It's no secret.
Every Tuesday at CBSSports.com, unfortunately, I didn't get Monday, which would have been, you know, a dopey mock Monday hashtag. But I've got every Tuesday I get to file a new mock. My wife thought that this off season meant Mondays might be free, and now Mondays are worse. Like it's way easier to cover a single NFL game than it is to put together a mock draft. I get that people hate mock drafts. I love them, but they're hard to, like, they're not easy work.
Oh wow! Someday we'll have a discussion of what goes into when you modify your mock draft from week to week. But it is no secret that the Titans
fake
need
trades. Is the answer.
Yes, fake trades. So edge rushers, no doubt, huge need for the Titans right now with their aging pass rushers, who they've gotten really good mileage out of with Arakpo and Derek Morgan. So you've got Arden Key this week from LSU, a good edge rusher. So obviously you think that's a good fit. And what are some other – how deep is that area of the draft in terms of trying to find a guy who can really get after the quarterback?
It's not – It's interesting. I mean, there is a little top heavy. There's a lot of interior defensive line guys that are really good in this draft. From that perspective, it's not chock full of sexy pass rushers at the top. I mean, look, if you're the Titans, you're not going to get a whiff of Bradley Chubb. He's going to go in the top five. You would have to do some crazy trade up that wouldn't be worth it to get him. Marcus Davenport, you know, had a really nice Senior Bowl and moved up a lot of draft boards. But I still think could, you know, end up falling down towards the middle rounds. I think I had him going to the Panthers, which means that he would either right four or right after the Titans, right in that same range. And then Arden Key. Look, Arden Key is a top 5 or 10 talent. If everything checks out, you know the production wasn't perfect and wasn't what you want to see, that escalating production as you get older in an SEC defense. You have to worry a little bit about production against what was the scheme he was beating? What were the tackles he was beating? You know, did he pile up six of his 10 sacks or whatever it is against, lower end competition? How did he do, you know, in that always important Alabama game, because they've always got elite talent on the opposite side. But I mean, I think Key is a guy that could work out. If the Titans are dead set on getting an edge rusher in that first round, there's a decent chance they either will have to overdraft somebody they really like or move up in the first round to try and get somebody.
Last thing, Will, what will the market be for Doug Martin? Will it be small?
I think it'll be a prove it. I bet he gets a 1 year prove it deal, or maybe some sort of option situation. Because if you look at his production, he has 2 years with over 1,400 yards, right? With Tampa Bay, then he has 3 years under 500, or 4 years under 500 yards. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So you just can't trust that he's going to come in and be a feature back. He's had off-field issues, suspended, of course, for the substance abuse policy. So you have to worry about that. You know, another suspension would really ratchet up the punishment in that case. And so I think you have to have a lot of incentive-based clauses into that contract for Doug Martin. And this running back class in the draft is deep. And if you recall, just like last year, you know, guys like Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles were out there in free agency, and they're big names and granted, you know, a lot of miles on tires, but they couldn't really generate a whole lot of interest. And I think you're going to see something similar for veteran running backs, because there are so many cheap options in the draft, and the ability to really pluck a guy and put him on a rookie contract and not have to worry about that higher end deal. I think Doug Martin's got to be a prove it incentive type of situation for anybody to really take a gamble.
Yeah, I'd sign him for a 1 year deal and 1 year only, because this is the year he's supposed to have 1,400 yards. He goes 1,400.
That's right, based on the
400, 400, 1,400, 400, 400. He's due. This is the year for 1,400.
Sheer mathematics dictate that Doug Martin will rush for over 1,400 yards this year.
It's like Brett Saberhagen, the odd year with the Cy Young. Remember in the 1980s?
Yeah. Or the Giants, San Francisco Giants.
That's right. San Francisco
even
Giants.
Of the World Series.
Yeah.
Right.
Very good.
We got this all figured out.
Will, congratulations. You just moved up our board after this interview. You did a fantastic job. Good talking to you. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Will Brinson. Go check out his work on CBS Sports. He's their senior NFL writer. Good stuff from him. Back to wrap up the second hour next on 102.5 The Game. We're going to head up to Louisville to kick off the third hour. Jason Anderson, ESPN 680. What's the fallout after yesterday's news? We'll find that out coming up just around the corner. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here, and we now head over to our curling desk to find out what exactly happened out at the Fordyce Center. Julian, hit it. Do we have any music? Do we have any desk music?
Okay, you know what we need? We need ABC's Wild World of Sports. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. See if you can dig it up there on the YouTube there,
more,
Julian.
More of the agony of defeat is what we're looking for.
But we're going to hear Jim McKay. We need to do this right because there was a huge exhibition today at Fordyce Center. This was big. The crew. Here we go.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. The agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
That's exactly what we were looking for. So the morning drive was over at Fordyce Center, and I heard you guys talking to Danny Butler, who runs and does a fantastic job over there. And, of course, you know, we've been putting the word out. They've been inviting people to come out there all this month, and they're going into next month to go out there and participate in curling. It's when you turn on the Olympics, we've been watching the curling, which in a stunning upset, no representation from Canada. They're not going to take the gold. It's their sport, but Canada has been upset. But we've asked people to go out there, and we had Danny Butler on our show last week, and he said the stone weighed about 42 pounds. But you guys were able to participate in curling one Chase Maccabee after the show. And how did that go?
For Derek and Braden, it went quite well. I don't think it should be a surprise to anybody that Derek is probably the most athletic of the group. But Braden himself, I mean, I didn't know he had played hockey. He was out there skating and doing some hockey drills. I mean, Braden was pretty athletic in his own
I'm
right.
I'm sure he'll paint the picture tomorrow that he was better than everybody.
Yes, he will.
He, you know, he scored the highest marks.
But right? Then again, so will Derek. I mean, you've worked with Derek. You know,
no question. He's going to say he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. So they were good. As for Nick and as for me, not so much. I'm actually here today to announce that I am retiring from curling.
I know it's an emotional decision for you, Chase. You announced this on Twitter earlier, and I took note, and I thought to myself, you know, maybe we could be the first to interview Chase live since the announcement.
Yes, and, you know, I got a very encouraging tweet from Julian Council saying that I'm trash, so I appreciate that.
Because you are. You're garbage, man.
Keep up the good work. You're garbage.
Garbage. Like Pac-Man Jones.
I'm glad you retired, man.
Yeah, so it's not easy. It was on a fun experience. I've you know, watched it, and I never really understood it until now. I've actually done it, and
did you do it though? I mean,
well, I looked at the replay.
I attempted it.
I looked at the replay though. It felt like Chase, you know, in breaking down the film. You had trouble with the push off.
I did.
Trouble? Yeah, that's one way of putting
it. Did they
it.
Not offer you, you know, special shoes?
They had
some spikes or
no,
something.
You had the special shoes.
Yes.
You couldn't get a good dig in for the push off.
You look like you've been hit by a trank gun.
So, you put these rubber soles on your shoes, and you have to put one foot on like a thing you can push off of, and then the other foot is on another thing that allows you to slide, and then you hold on to the rock. I had trouble pushing myself off, keeping my balance on the one foot that's supposed to slide, and staying upright.
Willie and I blurted out the same thing during the break. We referenced the movie Old School. You look like you were over by the pony. You shot yourself in the jugular, man. And you were going, you're so funny.
Is that bad?
I'm so tired.
It was pretty bad, but hey, you know what? At least I can say I have tried it.
Chase, you, in all sincerity, you barely got the stone.
The stone
released.
Didn't go very far.
The second time was released. The second time was a little better.
Was it?
A little.
By the way, you didn't need anybody to broom. I know Derek was trying to help you out, but
he was ready.
When it goes 2.5 feet, there's really not much to broom.
I think we need to get you guys out there next.
Chaz, who does a great job with our promotions department, has been putting these videos out there. I guess, from what I'm being told from the curling desk, is that Chaz has officially put out your statement.
Yes.
That it is now official. You have retired.
I have retired.
After
and
two, what do they call it? It's not toss. You don't toss it. What do they call it?
Attempts? I don't know. Yeah, two slides.
Yeah, is it slides?
You know what? Shout out to people that curl. I look forward to hearing Terry Crisp break it down because he was curious about this. And so I'm sure I'm going to get some wise words from the coach tomorrow. But
his wise words will be you're benched.
Yes. Yes.
I don't trust you. You're not playing for me.
But I feel like it was coaching, though. I feel like maybe better coaching by Danny Butler and some people. Maybe there could have been better.
Really?
No, maybe there would be more hope.
Really? You think that they could have coached him
up? Or do you think
up?
Danny's just a good enough talent evaluator that said, you need to retire?
Well, Danny couldn't help because Danny was laughing too hard to help.
And Ryan Porth, Robbie Stanley tweeted us and said, you can hear Ryan's laugh take over the rink. And Ryan Porth attempted it as well. His went better than mine did.
Well, we invite everybody to look at 1025 The Game's Twitter, and you can break down the film for yourself. Chase's career as a curler, short-lived.
There's a reason.
But you have to look at this video because.
Oh, it's good.
It's good stuff. And then you can see Derek Mason as well with the sweep.
Yeah.
He looked like he fairly
D-Mace
knew it.
Could
yeah.
do this. If D-Mace puts in the work.
Well, if anything, we have learned over the years, he'll make it work.
Oh, yeah.
We've done shows at MTSU, a way right in the gym, and he wants to get out there and do three-point contests.
Oh, yeah.
And shooting contest. I mean. D-Mace can bring it. Now, the question is, from what we're being told from the curling desk and people that were in attendance, will Nick be honest with how he fared tomorrow morning?
I believe he will. I think he'll be honest.
And what was the assessment of Nick?
It was pretty bad. It was bad. It wasn't like me bad, but it was bad.
Was it your level?
I don't think so. Chaz tried to paint a picture that it was worse than me, but I don't think that's the case because I was pretty bad. There's a reason I talk about sports and don't actually do it. So, yeah. But I think Nick will be honest.
Well, we hope your groin gets better.
Thank you very much.
You look like Mike Smith in his last game he played.
I am lower body injury day today.
It was the immediate, oh, boy, I think he popped his groin.
It was like that.
Oh, okay. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys.
We look forward to hearing tomorrow's stories on Morning Drive starting at 6 a.m. on their curling experiment today at Ford Ice Center, which is going on. In all seriousness, if you haven't attempted this, try to fit it in your schedule. See when they're offering it up for you and you can make it work. I know I've already talked to people who have. They love it. If anything, you can laugh at yourself or at others. But it's really cool. And when we had Danny Butler on last week, I had no idea that stone weighed almost 45 pounds. So in all seriousness, it's not a 10-pound bowling ball. It's a rock. In fact, I think he said the rocks all come from the same mine. And it's over in, I think he said Ireland, he told us. So it's a pretty cool story where they get, you know, how they do this. But if you haven't seen the video, just go to 1025 The Game.
You have to see
Chase
this.
attempted. It's so incredibly sad, but not surprising for those who've been around Chase in the last several years. We've seen his attempts at sports. We'll come back, Jason Anderson, to kick off the third hour. ESPN 680. What's the fallout? We'll find out what it is next on 1025 The Game.